Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. So how was the voting process in California? How did you vote and where and when? I'm joined by Paul Mitchell from Political Data, Inc. and Ken Rudin, the political junkie. But let's check in right now with Courtney Bailey at Sacramento County and get, well, let's call it a snapshot of voting. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, so what can you tell us about how it all went yesterday?
So in Sacramento County, we had a lot of folks come out and vote. We had about 30,000 voters that ended up voting in person at one of our 84 vote center locations. We did have some connectivity issues to our statewide voter database during that time, which did cause the process to slow down, but voters were still able to get their ballots, and it was resolved, and voters continued on voting. And we did have a few locations that had lines, especially at our libraries, our Sac State campus, so we had a pretty good turnout yesterday.
So Paul Mitchell was telling us earlier about collecting the ballots in big bags and weighing them and trying to determine the number of votes by the weight. Tell me more about that scenario.
Yes. So one of the most challenging parts is to get that estimation of how many ballots we have left to count. So we've received hundreds of bags full of ballots that range anywhere from about 200 a bag to 1,200 a bag. And so we are waiting to get that estimation today to be able to report on how many ballots are still left to count. Based on what we picked up, we're looking at about 200,000 ballots, but still unsure on what the mail is going to look like for folks that wanted to mail their ballot on the last day. Not sure what those numbers are going to look like yet.
All right. When's the next update from Sacramento County?
From Sacramento County, the next update is going to be Friday at 4 p.m. And at that point, we will have been able to process a lot of those vote-by-mail ballots that were dropped off yesterday to be able to add to our results. So all of the in-person voting that was done yesterday has been updated to our website.
All right. Paul Mitchell's going to jump in here, Courtney.
Hey, Courtney. Great to hear you.
Yeah, great to hear you, too.
First off, I had a great experience voting yesterday morning. It was actually just right after we finished Insight. I walked over to the vote center that was just a few feet away from the station. I just had a question. We knew going into this that there were a lot of nonpartisan voters who were trying to get a Democratic ballot and were mailed ballots that didn't have the presidential candidates that they were looking for on them. Did you see a lot of voters replacing ballots coming in to get the right ballot? Do you feel like that was effective?
Yes, we did see, I would say, a majority of our voters that took advantage of our conditional voter registration process was due to party changes or party updates. So we had about 3,000 of our conditional voter registrations that were updating the party. And then in addition, we had several thousand that took advantage of the crossover option where voters that weren't registered with a party were able to choose to vote on either the Democratic, American Independent, or Libertarian candidates.
Any idea about turnout at this point, even in a guesstimation sense, Courtney?
It's a little difficult, but I would say we're hoping to at least get to about 45% for this upcoming election. We've about processed half of what we've had in house. We're hoping to obviously get more through the mail, and then once we process all of those dropped off, hoping about a 45% turnout.
All right, thank you, Courtney. So glad to have you join us today with a check-in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Courtney Bailey is the Sacramento County Registrar. We have Melinda Dubroff on the line right now, San Joaquin County Registrar of Voters. Hi, Melinda. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm doing well.
I'm laughing because you sent an email out late last night saying, "That's it. I'm exhausted. I'm going home."
Well, I actually just got home. We posted our final precinct results on the Secretary of State's website. We went final, I believe, around 9 o'clock this morning.
So, final results meaning San Joaquin is done counting?
Oh, golly, no!
I didn't think so.
Yeah, no, no. Our final election night results.
Election night, okay.
Yes, our first results were released. We had about 40,000 vote-by-mail ballots. And then over the course of the evening, we had about another 20,000 ballots cast at polling places. And
how are those numbers? How do those numbers compare?
Well, I gotta tell you, I just got home. so you know what's remarkable is that we had 20,000 registered voters come out to the polls and cast their ballot. You know, as a regular polling place voter, but we had 40,000 vote by mail ballots dropped off at the polls. So we received the same number of vote-by-mail ballots at the polling places as we did prior, the entire period prior to Election Day.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
That's definitely something to pay attention to and definitely something to look ahead to in November. I think you've been so gracious with the long night and day that you've had to join us. So I'm going to let you go enjoy your morning or go to sleep. Thank you, Melinda.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
All right. That is Melinda Dubroff. I want to, in our final couple minutes here, just get a bigger picture of where we are. It seems that a lot of people like that California had an early primary. It played a pivotal role in where we are in this election cycle. What's your guess? Do you think it stays here, Paul?
Well, you know, when we moved to the March primary, there were a lot of naysayers. They thought, well, candidates aren't going to come here, but they did. You know, Pete Buttigieg, we were just talking about, was in the state more than 75 times. They said, well, people aren't going to spend money here. They're just going to treat it like an ATM, like always. But they did. We had record spending in our election here. And they also said, well, California is not going to play like a pivotal role in determining the outcome of the race because we're so early. But we did. Not only did the March primary have an impact in terms of the delegates that we could allocate, but those delegates were looming over the field as they came into Super Tuesday. The prospect of, you know, who would win all of those delegates and what those numbers would mean for the whole nomination process really shaped the primary. So California's move to the March primary, I think, was vindicated last night. It was an exciting, it was a dramatic and impactful primary that I presume will stay with this kind of this early March primary for years to come.
Ken?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And the fact is that I think it was good to have the first four states with different demographics, different constituencies, let them have their say, let them have affordable states in the beginning to have an interaction between the voters and the candidates, but then let the people have their say. The Californians watch what happened in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. They watch the endorsements, they watch the dropouts, and they made their decision. They've always had an effect, but of course, when you have, unless you have something very close like Bernie versus Hillary or Obama versus Hillary, for the most part, June primaries, it's just too late. It's exciting, but it's too late. Having it in March means it's consequential, makes a difference. It plays an impact in the counting the delegates, and then we move forward to the other big states.
Even now, with the way this went, we try to open so many opportunities for early voting. But after this experience, I don't know whether people are going to want the early voting opportunity, although the mystery won't be as big in November.
Yeah, I mean, I think early voting is an important way for us to grow the electorate, to get more people to participate. And yes, there are people who early voted for Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, and she dropped out. But there's also people that voted for Elizabeth Warren, and she might not get the 15% to get delegates. And voting really is, I make it like cheering. I was telling my daughter, you know, when you go to a baseball game and or a football game or a basketball game and you cheer for your team, it doesn't matter whether or not they're going to have a winning season. It doesn't matter that it's going to actually change the outcome of the race. It's your own expression, and voting is your expression. And whether or not you're casting your ballot for somebody who ends up becoming president or not, it's an expression of your values. And I think allowing more people, more ways to participate in that is better.
That's a terrific takeaway from all of this. Paul, thank you so much. It was great to have you join us for these last many hours and days.
It was wonderful. It was great to bookend this primary election season with you.
Yeah. Paul Mitchell, Political Data, Inc. And of course, Ken Rudin, having you here in person with us during all this coverage and part of the team was just terrific. Thank you so much.
I'd love to. Let's not forget the fact that Donald Trump in the Republican primaries, overwhelming victories in all the states, 92, 94, 96%. We talk about all the Democrats wanting to get rid of Trump. Republicans clearly want to keep the president.
The races are on for November. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Again, we thank Ken Rudin and Paul Mitchell. Thanks to my colleagues in the CAP Radio election coverage, producers Helen Barrington, Kyle McKinnon, and Cynthia Lopez. We had help from reporters Chris Nichols, Bob Moffitt, Sammy Kaola, Scott Rodd, and Nicole Nixon. Thanks to Andrew Nixon and our digital team, Chris Hagen, Emily Zentner, and Helga Salinas. Our technical director is Mark Jones, with director Kyle McKinnon. We had engineering help from Anthony Van Hook and Antonio Munez, and of course, Evan Matzler. Managing editor of news is Nick Miller. Our managing editor of insight is Aram Sarkissian. Our program director is Ben Adler. I think it's important to say everybody's name because everyone puts in so many hours. Thank you to each and every one of you. And CAP Radio's chief content officer is Joe Barr. Again, I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.